I don't care what they say. I don't care what the devil says about me. And he's talking about me all the time. He's talking about you too. He's up there slandering you. The word devil, diablo, means the accuser. Actually, Satan means the accuser. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is slandering you before God right now. And his spirit dwells in those who do not believe. So it's no wonder they don't say very nice things about us when we're walking in the Lord. Don't get upset about what they say. And don't care about what the devil says about you either. And as a matter of fact, if I can take that one step further, you may want to consider whether you should even pay attention to what you say about yourself. I'm serious. How often do we slander ourselves? I ain't no good. I ain't worth it. God could never do anything with me. I'll never amount to anything. I'll never see my way out of this financial mess. I just, you know, I must be cursed or something. My life is just nothing. I'm not intelligent. I'm not pretty. I'm not pretty, but you know. You know, I'm not, you know, whatever, you know. Don't even go there. Don't even dishonor my God, because he says, I have a destiny prepared from you from before the foundation of the world. I have good works prepared ahead of time for you to do, and you are my workmanship. You are my handiwork, my craftsmanship. You are, literally, those words in Ephesians 2 talk about almost like an epic story. Your life is the epic story of God's handiwork. Man. So don't even slander my God by telling me these lies about yourself. Think about yourself according to the truth and not according to opinion. Remember that in Christ you are everything that God says you are, and he just wants you to begin to step out and walk in that by faith so he can use that faith to make it real in your life and amaze you at who you can become in Christ. Praise God. We belong to him. Our Father says his, if you want to call it DNA, his spirit is alive in us, and it is no longer us who live, but Christ who lives in us. And he who has begun a good work in you is going to keep on keeping on until the day of Jesus Christ. I think that's the Eastern Shores translation. He's just going to keep on keeping on. Amen? Amen. Man, I just want to just get up here and worship some more, man. Wow. So last week we saw that Jesus was rejected by his own hometown, his own former neighbors, his buddies, his homeboys, because they couldn't see past his humanity. Yes, he was fully man. Yes, he was also fully God. But they couldn't see past his humanity. And last week we said they couldn't believe in Jesus Christ because they couldn't see past Jesus of Nazareth. He was just Mary's kid. They knew him after the flesh. They didn't identify him as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They didn't identify him as the one by whom and through whom and for whom all things were made. I remember the day I got saved when the preacher said that about Christ, that God became man and put on human flesh. I almost fell out of my seat because the Holy Spirit impressed it upon my heart with such force that it just magnified Jesus in my eyes like I had never seen him before. And I pray that the Lord would do that for all of us, that we would have such an encounter with Jesus Christ and see him for all the glory that is inherent inside of him, that it would change our life. But they couldn't see that. So they rejected him. But he did not let that rejection deter him. He did not let that rejection define him. He simply moved on and began preaching in the other villages. Said, all right, fine. And today, we're going to see that when he sent out his 12 disciples on a missionary trip to the various villages of Israel, towns and cities and villages of Israel, he also warned them, not to be concerned with people's acceptance or rejection of them, not to be concerned about what others thought, but to simply preach the gospel faithfully, to bless those who received them, and move on from those who didn't. Not to lose any sleep. If they receive you, let your peace abide on them. If they don't, simply move on. Praise God. So let's take a look. Mark chapter 6. We're going to start at verses 7 through 13. You can follow in your Bible. We're also going to put it up here. Father, I just thank you for your amazing word, God. I thank you for these promises you've given us in Jesus. Lord God, I pray that you would just quicken this word in our heart, make it come alive inside of us, God, and fire us up for you, Lord. You said you hate it when we're lukewarm. You would rather have us cold than lukewarm, God. But above all, you'd rather, if you're going to be one or the other, you'd rather have us cold or hot. So, Father, I pray you would stoke the fires and stir up the gifts inside of us, and that you would kindle afresh our love and affection for you, Lord. Set us on fire for Jesus Christ today. I pray in his name. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. And he called the 12 to himself. And he began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bag. No bread. No copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Also, he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and they preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. Praise God. Short and sweet. Short and sweet. In many ways, this could be our model for advancing the kingdom of God. I know you can go to a lot of church growth seminars, and they'll tell you four different ways from Sunday as to how to build a church, how to evangelize, how to build the kingdom of God. I think there's a lot going for this particular model. Because frankly, there is nothing given to these disciples here to make them attractive to the natural man. They're plain and simple. They don't carry any money, no extra clothes. They don't even carry food for the journey. They are completely dependent upon God. The innkeepers are not lining up outside their doors trying to get these guys in because they're broke. They ain't got nothing. They're not wearing fancy clothes. They don't have people going before them carrying signs to promote them. They're not sending out email blasts or spam on the internet. They're just going as they are. They are coming as they are. And they are completely dependent upon God. Now, if this was modern day evangelism, instead of sending the disciples out two by two, they'd probably send the tractor trailers out two by two. Because the first one would be carrying all the lighting equipment and the sound equipment and the amps and the PA, the mixing boards, the instruments, the drums, the keyboards, and all like that. The second tractor trailer would have all the TV cameras and all the recording equipment and the production gear and all of the products that they're going to sell at the tables, the T-shirts and the CDs and the DVDs and the books. And then they'd probably be following those tractor trailers with the bus, carrying all the personnel. And then, you know, somewhere in the back of the bus in their own little private little, you know, cabin is the two disciples, and they're, you know, sipping some kind of pineapple drink and eating some kind of gourmet food, rolling into town, 2x2 tractor trailers. That's modern day evangelism. Here, there is nothing fancy, nothing impressive. Just a couple of guys walking into town, completely and utterly dependent upon the living God to do what He does so well. That is a model for building the kingdom of God. I love that, man. Wow. Just show up with God. Think of just show up with God. What else do you need? Man. Now it's just me and my buddy, and we brought the Lord with us. Praise God. Wow. I mean, not only that, but look at the message they were assigned to preach. You know? It says in verse 12, so they went out and preached that people should do what?
Repent.
What?
Repent.
Say it like you mean it.
Repent.
Repent. How popular a message is that? You all know how popular that message is, right? People are just lining up to be told that they're doing everything wrong and they're screwing it up, and if they don't change, they're going to burn in hell. What a popular message. That message is so popular, you'd be lucky if you can find it in any books out on the market, even in the Christian bookstores. It's not a popular message. I think it was Charles Spurgeon that said, the man whose little sermon is repent had better pledge his head to heaven before he goes. Not a popular, doesn't sell a lot of TV time, won't get you on the bestseller list, especially in the secular marketplace. So they were doing nothing to become attractive to men. They didn't have anything fancy, nothing glorious, and they preached a message that people hate to hear. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.